On this episode, we're going over Ryan's trip to the Flower and Garden Festival. Let's see if he got his stretchy pants on and got it done. This is episode 111 of the Off the Monorails podcast. Well, hello and salutations to our listeners here. This is a little different, is it not? This is your boy Justin bringing you in.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, leading it off for a change here. We're just switching it up, pulled another one on you guys. So welcome if you are new here to the Off the Monorails podcast. We are happy to have you. Joined with me is our usual cast of shenanigan giving fellas here. We got Jordan. And we got Ryan here. Fellas, how you guys doing?
Hello, hello.
Doing fantastic.
Yeah, and apologies, Justin. I know we're recording this a little bit in advance, but I didn't do it on last week's episode. And so this is going to be late when it actually drops, but happy birthday, man.
Hey.
Your birthday's coming up in just a couple of days happy when we're birthday. Recording this, but it'll have already occurred when this episode releases, but I forgot to do it on the last episode we recorded that drops on your birthday, and I apologize for that, but very special happy birthday to you, sir.
It's just another day anymore, so,
yeah. Yeah, you'll actually be spending your birthday in the parks, right?
I will be, actually. Going to be bringing you guys some action live as it's happening, and going to have some fun with my son, Jacob. He has been dying to get back to the parks as well as I have, so... I will be spending my, 36th birthday in the parks. So
yep.
We're getting old, Jordan.
Yep.
You know, time is just...
Yeah, thanks, man.
Time is not relative anymore. Time is just a thief in the night. So,
yep.
But we hope that you guys, you know, since we're speaking of it, hope you guys are tuned in with us on the social media platforms. Make sure you follow us at Off the Monorails across the board. Make sure you follow, subscribe, like, all that good stuff, all the free things. Go ahead and get it done. That way you're up to date and notified of anything that we are posting and any new content that we bring to the table for your guys' consumption. So, gentlemen, how's your day been?
Not too shabby. I'm tired. As you know, we're gearing up to embark on our vacation here.
Crunch time.
And so we've got a matter of just a couple of days before we head out of town. So likewise for yourself.
Oh boy.
But yeah, it's so another reason why we're getting these episodes recorded in advance, so the audience has something to listen to while we're having fun away. But doing good, just tired, man. There's a lot of things going on for work, and you know, just trying to get, you know, we're all like I said, we're all packed and everything ready to go for our trip, but so there's nothing, they're all good there, thank goodness. So glad we made a decision
it's
to go ahead and get that done.
Other things.
It's just all the other things.
The normal things that we're leaving behind. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but
the constant state of inception that is life.
Yes. So, it's been all right. It's going to be worth it, right?
Absolutely. Ryan, how about yourself?
You know, brushing off the New Balances and kicking off the grass yep. mowing season. I officially christened my yard for the 2024 year. And I'm going to devote a lot of my time to cutting grass the rest of the summer now.
Yeah, we got...
That's the only thing new in my book right now.
Showers.
Got some Disney coming soon. We'll stay posted on
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're not going to waste any more time here. We're going to kick off... our news segment, if you will. So, Ryan, you want to lead us into our coffee break?
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Justin. And yes, the coffee break is brought to you by our friends at ExpeditionRoasters.com. They are our coffee plug, and they should be your coffee plug as well. So, if you care to take a look at their website, click the link in the episode description. It's an affiliate link for us. And go check out their great selection of coffee. They got some cool mugs, some shirts, swag. But their flavors are pop culture and theme park inspired. And coffee is still the number one star of the show, no matter what. Just work yourself through the catalog like we have, and you won't find anything you don't like. I can guarantee you that. But be sure and use code OFFTHEMONORAILS at checkout and save yourself 10% on every order. And get your cart to $65 or more, and you'll get yourself some free shipping. And also join their Beans Rewards program, and that'll earn you some points towards free coffee. So, again, that is expeditionroasters.com, and let's roll into this coffee break.
Yeah, one of the things I wanted to highlight, and our boy, Scotty G, Scott Gustin over on X, he's got it locked down with the Disney news and all the other theme park news, but... Yeah, so we had talked about, and actually came up, I think, on our last episode about that plan that Disney talked about a month or so ago, their plan investment for the next 10 years. So the Walt Disney Company actually filed to the SEC some additional information about their 10-year, $60 billion investment in the experience segment. And they included in this filing, which is like 60 pages of information. So if you want to go read that, go right ahead. It's a lot. But they included a breakdown of that plan that shows that their allocation plan for this spend. And 50% of this plan is going to be designated for parks and resorts, 20% going to cruise / other, and 30% on tech and maintenance. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see how they spread, you know, where they're, what money they're going to be using, where, you know. Mm-hmm. And then there's also some other information in the filing that says within the experience segment, the money will be spent on expanding footprint, innovative technology, and reaching new fans across the world. So they are, you know, one of the bullet points here was expanding our footprint. We have over 1,000 acres of available development across our 6 existing resorts in North America, Europe, and Asia. So they are, it seems like they are, over the next 10 years, they are really going to be driving in and say, hey, we're going to expand, not just giving you new rides or updating rides within the current footprint, but beyond, widening, expanding that footprint, which is really cool, especially when you think about the available space. Those out of those 1,000 acres of available development space, how many of those acres are in Florida? Yeah. So that's it's promising.
They got to have something to answer to Universal. Yeah. They have to, like, There's no choice.
Yeah. And then they've also highlighted some of the largest franchises that received their investments over the previous 10 years and their returns. Basically what they're, you know, remember what Iger said a couple of weeks ago when he said they're going to start turning their attention to driving more and more investment into their more popular franchises. In this slide that was on it, it's slide 22 of the filing, just so anyone wants to go look at it. But franchises include Cars, Toy Story, Star Wars, Frozen, Mickey Mouse, of course, Avengers, Avatar, Guardians of the Galaxy, separated from Avengers. That's also very interesting to me. And Tron. So that could be a clue what we could expect some more investment to be built around.
Yeah, Disney literally just gave away their cards.
It's a lot.
I'm here for it, though. Every single one of those entities.
Yeah.
I like.
I'll take more of any of that. Yeah. Well, you've got the new Tron film coming out, next year with Jared Leto in one of the lead roles. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, they're going to keep on boosting that franchise, see if it unlocks a new fan base, you know, and expands that. So and we'll see where it goes. But yeah, I thought that was interesting to see some of that, the details of that filing, and kind of where we could be, where we could be headed.
It's a lot to be optimistic about.
It's just further concrete evidence that they are serious about investing into the company and expanding even beyond the current footprint. So that's further solidifies what they did with the pie in the sky idea for at least Walt Disney World. So there's at least some truth to it.
Yeah. So, yeah. And remember, not only that, expanding the footprint, if you give us new attractions and make those parks bigger, right, you're gonna need to house more people, mm-hmm. right? You're gonna need to develop more resorts and things like that. So maybe we can see the redevelopment of that Reflections Resort that's supposed to be right there next mm-hmm. to Fort Wilderness, right on the lake. Maybe we could see some new properties. So there's a lot of things that happen. Also new jobs, right?
Yep.
More promising, you know, so that's good. There's other things that come out of those expansion opportunities. So
Skyliner expansion. I'm still putting my vote in that hat.
That has not left the table, and we are here for it.
It's proven itself to be cost effective.
So for my offering here, it is also from Scott Gustin. And it's very minor, but it's worth mentioning here that Walt Disney World and the Disneyland Resort will soon add the ability to search dining availability across multiple days in a single search.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks pretty awesome.
Yeah. So if you've ever gone through the painstaking process of looking up reservations for dining for your party, you know, it's one of those meticulous, you know, day by day things you just got to look at. This right here is going to cut a lot of time out of it. And as someone that just recently started looking for that for their birthday party celebration, you know, I want to have a good steak somewhere. I would appreciate being able to look up multiple days in one single search. So I could certainly appreciate this for sure.
Yeah, just one of those things just makes sense, right?
Yeah, just
so.
Let's just go ahead and roll it out. And they did mention that this feature is coming soon, so stay tuned and check your app store updates, and when it rolls out, you will be the first to know.
Yeah. Maybe we'll receive an infamous On Track YouTube short.
Man, it's been a minute since we've done that, right?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
So for those that are not in the know, when we first started this podcast, actually, yours truly did a short series of content titled On Track. And it's on our YouTube channel that you can look up the playlist. Everything's there. It's about 6 or 7 short episodes, no more than a minute, just short, sweet, and to the point information about navigating around the My Disney Experience app. So definitely want to check that out. If you're new to using the app, there's a lot of good information there for sure. And if you're not a newbie to the app, there's some good stuff that you can at least brush up on and remember. So make sure you check that out over on YouTube at Off the Monorails. But we're going to wrap up the news segment here. We got a lot to get into here with Ryan's trip. So without further ado, Ryan. Oh, go ahead, Jordan.
Actually, before we get into Ryan's trip recap and going over his experience with this year's Flower and Garden Festival, you know, guys, I like to throw out a little trivia every now and then. And so I've got one for you today. Audience, see if you can get this right here. This was actually, we have a little trivia that goes back and forth through the office. And this was a trivia question today. And so I thought it was pretty good. So let's have a crack at it, shall we? So at the Magic Kingdom, how many attractions have a footprint that exists outside of the railroad?
Outside
and name the attractions. Yes.
Tomorrowland Speedway, Tron.
I'm gonna say 4. Better yet, 5. I think there's 5.
And don't look at your maps.
No,
I'm on an honor system here. Listeners at home, don't look at the map.
I'm gonna say Big Thunder Mountain, Haunted Mansion, Liberty Bell, Tron, and Space Mountain.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going with that as well.
So the answer is 4.
Okay.
And I'll give them to you because you definitely missed them.
Really?
And included some that definitely are within the railroad. So, one that you did get, Tron. Tron is definitely outside of the railroad. It goes right past it, right through the tunnel, right? The second one is Space Mountain. The third, now formerly known as Splash Mountain, now Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Mm. Railroad cuts right in front of that ride. And in my opinion, the hardest one on this list, because it's just a sliver of the attraction that actually goes beyond the railroad. Any guess?
Pirates.
I would say the Haunted Mansion, because I know it. Oh, Pirates.
I'm going to say Pirates.
Both of those are still within the confines of the railroad.
Wow, really?
See, I thought that.
Well, this has got to be on the opposite.
Part of the Haunted Mansion goes outside
it
of
does,
the
It does, but the railroad goes beyond it.
So would it be
okay?
The Barnstormer.
Boy.
No, that's within it.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a tough one. I think it's the toughest one on to get.
People Mover.
It is the People Mover. It is the People Mover.
Ah.
Yeah, the one section that goes through or right next to Space Mountain.
Yep. That's where I was
back out. So there you go. There are the 4 attractions at the Magic Kingdom.
I'm shocked Tomorrowland Speedway didn't
make that. The footprint beyond the railroad. It's within it, man. It's within it.
I thought it had to get shut down and they redirected the train.
Yeah. Huh. They remember that they moved that track a little bit because of Tron. Yeah.
So technically I was right, but
if I asked you that question 5 years ago, yes.
Because that was like first thing off the rip. I was like, Tomorrowland Speedway.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, good trivia. There you go. Thank you for that, Jordan. Yeah. Definitely look forward to those random trivia bursts. Keeps us on our toes.
Keeps you thinking, right?
Yeah, it keeps us on our toes. I like it. So, without further ado, Ryan, you are the star of the show for this episode, my friend. Let's review your time with your family and our mom down at the Flower and Garden Festival 2024. Let's see what we got into here, brother. Take it away.
Yeah. So this was one of those we booked a resort the day that we were leaving type trips. We talk about these all the time, and they tend to be the best ones.
Yeah.
We threw around the idea. We struggled with it of paying the prices that they wanted for resorts that week. But that Friday morning, they actually added a 35% discount to all the rooms at Pop Century Resort. And the rooms were originally like, I think, $293 or $278 a night, which there's no way in hell. But the funny thing about this booking was Brianna and I both looked that morning. She looked on her phone, and then I looked on my PC at home, and then she actually got to work and looked on her PC at work like a good employee. And all 3 devices showed 3 different prices and different availability. So one showed that it was still full price, but then her PC at work showed that there was sub $200 prices for the rooms. And there was no argument there. Like, I just said, book it, whatever, we're going. So
I love it.
You know, that afternoon we're on our way down, and we got there a Friday night. So Saturday, which was day two or mm-hmm. 3 of Flower and Garden. So I'm already 2 for 2 this year. I've done opening weekends of both festivals this year.
Hallelujah.
I'm on a good streak here. It was beautiful. Topiaries, you know, they're kind of in their early stage. They're not filled out. Winnie the Pooh's kind of skinny. he's going to fill out some. But
the honey.
Epcot was fairly busy. It wasn't, I mean, I've seen Epcot way worse. But for our opening weekend, it was fairly tame. And you know, we hopped on the Skyliner that morning. Of course, it's easy as pie to get to Epcot Pop Century.
One of the best things.
Got a great Skyliner ride. Oh, yeah. Fantastic weather. It was, you know, low 60s in the mornings, got up to around 80 in the afternoons. Just clear, beautiful weather. Couldn't ask for better weather. But we bit the bullet and actually got in line for Frozen when we got into the parks, because we had a couple of hours to kill before World Showcase opened.
Yeah, yeah.
And it had been a while since we rode Frozen Ever After, and it was like an hour wait, but we waited probably 45 minutes.
Okay.
So
pretty accurate.
One thing is a lot of the ride times were shorter than what they were listed for, except for we tried to hit Soarin' after Frozen Ever After, and both the Lightning Lane and Standby were out of the ride entrance.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And this,
but that's because Soarin' on the World just came back.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah.
So we stood in line for about 10 minutes and I'm like, yeah, this ain't it. I'm not doing this. Like, I'll wait 45 minutes for Soarin', but I'm not waiting 2 hours.
Yeah, I agree.
And so by then, it's insane. By then, World Showcase was starting to open. So we went ahead and moseyed around and grabbed a couple of snacks here and there. Some very notable changes from some of the items last year.
Okay.
So at Brunchcot, we got the fried cinnamon roll bites. They were a returning thing from last year.
Yeah.
This year, they're like almost like a pizza roll, but they have like a cinnamon brown sugar filling now. So it's not just a plain dough ball with cinnamon on it. So it's got like an actual cinnamon roll element.
So they've kind of like folded in, like kind of do.
Yeah. It's like a trifold, but it's like a dumpling almost.
Yeah. Okay.
And still had the cream cheese frosting and the candied bacon on it. Fantastic.
Oh, man.
The biscuit and gravy with the Impossible Chicken Fried Steak.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Where are we at on this?
Decent.
Decent.
It was decent.
Okay. Okay.
Biscuit. It was good. It was actually really good.
Oh. Okay.
The biscuit was a little hard to me. It was almost like a scone type consistency.
Okay.
The chicken fried steak and the gravy, out of this world.
Okay.
The texture on the chicken fried steak could be a little off if it's not cooked right, but thankfully mine was cooked right, so it felt like a piece of cube steak almost.
Yeah. Okay.
Flavors were great.
I'd heard some reviews that the gravy and the biscuit were dry, like really dry for a lot of people. So maybe they took that the first couple days
to perfect it,
day or two,
and
kind of correct it. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will say that there is a small threshold of between good and bad with how this recipe is. Like, you have a small window of error to keep it in quality control.
Yeah.
You can definitely see that.
Okay. You probably want to try to get the freshest batch as possible, right?
Yep. First thing. That's why we went there first, because it was breakfast items, so it kind of made sense.
Yep. Okay.
And the chicken fried steak was, you know, seasoned well. It's quite spicy, actually, but it was delicious. And then we kind of hit like a trifecta here in this area, because have the citrus blossom, which is in the Odyssey building, as it was last year. Mm-hmm. So you have your orange tempura shrimp and the lemon meringue pie. The orange tempura shrimp, just like from last year, but a little different, because remember last year the shrimp came like tossed in the sauce, kind of like orange chicken at Panda Express. So this year they are served with sauce on the side. So that way the shrimp stay crispy.
Okay, that's a presentation.
And in my opinion, it was way better, because the sauce was able to stand out a little better.
Right,
like it had some heat to it, but the crunch of the shrimp was better.
Well, and you get to control the sauce ratio, too.
There you go. Yes, to your liking.
Mm-hmm.
So that may have been something they adjusted on from comments from last year.
Yeah.
I think it was a great change. The beer flight was great, except for the there was one, and I want to say it was the Orange Twist Imperial Ale. To me, it didn't even have like a carbonation to it. And it felt like I was drinking Dayquil.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And maybe it was just a poorly carbonated keg. I'm going to chalk it up to that.
Okay.
Because the other two beers were amazing. The Lemon Drop Shandy, the Hazy IPA.
Yeah.
Lovely. Glad to hear that Lemon Drop Shandy.
The kids got their Orange Bird smoothies, and I did not get the souvenir cup.
Hey! No extra sippers. Get the souvenir cup.
I could have used the next one for my real
order. The last portion of this trifecta is the Epcot. No, damn that. I've got like eight of them. But the last leg of this trifecta was Epcot Farmer's Feast, which is between Brunchcot and Creations.
Mm-hmm.
And here they had the veal tenderloin with the risotto and the strawberry rhubarb upside down cake. And this is part of the early bloom menu. I had the strawberry rhubarb cake last year. It was great, so I didn't bother getting it this year. It wasn't like something I had to get again.
Mm-hmm.
But the veal tenderloin was really good.
Yeah.
And the risotto was...
Yeah.
Banger.
That's what I was going to ask about. It that's out of the photos and videos that I've seen so far, that the veal loin with spring pea risotto looks very, very enticing.
Yeah. So, and of course, risotto is arborio rice, so it's cooked al dente. It's not like soft, like sticky rice. Mm-hmm. So it's got a little bit of a chew to it, like pasta.
Yeah.
And I loved it. The red wine syrup on the meat and the risotto. Fantastic. The risotto's got like a creamy, salty, kind of earthy taste to it. It's fabulous. Got some green peas in there. And I washed mine down with a frozen lemon tea cocktail. That's one that's got the Baron Jaeger honey and bourbon.
Oh, yeah.
And to me, it was like a LeFou's brew with bourbon in it. Because it had it almost like an applesauce taste to it.
No, you know.
I'll take it.
But you got the lemon and the tea.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I would totally buy like three of those and drink them back to back. And
so
mom got the hibiscus lemonade cocktail.
Uh-huh.
And don't sleep on that one either, because that's like, that's probably one of the best drinks of the festival.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Hibiscus so, gin
both
and
drinks
that.
Here.
Yeah.
Both drinks here. Deserve attention.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Did you go in on the grilled street corn?
Oh, hell yeah, I did. We actually bought three of them.
Yeah, that's going right into my book.
Because I wanted one, Brianna wanted one, and then Braylon wanted one.
Yeah.
Yeah, get it all the way with the savory garlic spread and the cheese on it.
Mm.
Man, it's sweet corn, you know, that good milky creamy butter, and then the garlic spread and the salty cheese. It's
an explosion of flavors.
Give me one right now.
I'm about to say I want one right now. That sounds so good.
It was so good. And you know, not long after that, we moseyed around a little more. We jumped on Figment for a little bit and had to go see our buddy Figment. It was a great time, and got a couple more things of food here and there. You know, the kids wanted some ice cream, so we stopped and got them ice cream. I actually stopped and introduced mom to the Canada beer cart that she had never experienced.
Jeez.
So while this isn't festival beer, it's still an Epcot staple. I got a moose head, and I got her the Labatt Blue Light.
Yep.
And She said that's probably one of her favorite beers now, to be honest.
When in
it
Rome,
should be, because it's
Canada.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about merchandise, Ryan?
Yeah. So I'm glad you said that, because I'm getting ahead of myself. I actually picked up the festival pin at the Citrus Blossom, because they have, like, of course, Orange Bird is the star of the show. And typically now with the Odyssey building, that's kind of like where you'll find most of the festival merch for the festival that's going on right now at Epcot. You can still find it at Creations and other kiosks, but Odyssey Building is going to be like your headquarters for festival-specific merch. And it's no surprise that I am a sucker for pins, and I get a pin to commemorate every festival I've been to. And Justin and I just went through my pin board last night, and like we were just kind of talking about how the pins actually build a memory and a story.
Absolutely.
And I had a story for every pin that I bought and told them, you know, this was this trip and this was this trip. And
that's what it's
I
about.
Got this one
it was
here.
A good time. Yeah,
exactly. And
yeah. So, it's so good. And, you know, that's kind of where pins and Magic Bands both were the very beginning of my Disney story. Because, like, when we first went to Pop Century back in 2021 in February, Justin bought me my first Magic Band at the shop there. Mm-hmm. And it kind of just started it from there. And everything's tied to a memory now.
I remember.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Do you remember what that first one is?
Yeah, I actually wore it, not this trip, but the last one. It was a Finding Nemo Magic Band with Crush and Squirt on it.
Yeah.
Still one of my favorites out of the 38 that I have.
And that's not exaggerating, people.
Not exaggerating at all.
I've actually slowed down on the Magic Bands.
Yeah.
I will say I haven't. The last one I bought was my Hercules one, and I think that was last summer or the summer before.
But
since then,
let's be fair. Ryan,
doesn't matter.
Ryan has a knack for finding very rare pieces that he'll spend the money on and go and get those. So his collection is actually extensive and rare. So it's a combination of two things that you don't really see a whole lot of people have. But Ryan has an eclectic, sophisticated collection that Ryan should probably throw a recent picture up on the socials.
You know what? That's not a bad idea, Justin. I think I will do that. And, you know, I'm not going to get too far on a tangent here because I still got some food and drinks to talk about. But
I wanted to go ahead because while we're on the topic of Magic Bands, I wanted to ask another question. So go ahead, finish your statement.
Okay.
There.
So I was actually just looking on eBay for shits and gigs last night, and my oldest daughter Braylon has a Cars 3 Magic Band that was a limited edition that was very hard to find. Anyways, you want to know how much that's going for on eBay right now?
$150.
Try doubling it.
Try what? 500.
Oh my goodness.
$500.
I'd say see you later.
For a Cars 3 Magic Band 2.0 limited edition.
I bought it for 40. Sorry, honey.
Yeah.
I'll get you another Magic Band.
Yeah, go ahead with your question now.
Yeah. So with your cruise coming up, I know you asked me this question maybe a month or so back about if I was going to get one of the Disney Cruise Line Magic Band Pluses. I forget what they actually call them for the cruise
line.
Oh,
the Disney Band Plus.
The Disney Band Plus, yeah. So I just for your awareness, I elected to not get one. At least from a pre-order standpoint, there's one specifically designed for the Wish, and then there's two other Disney Cruise Line specific designs. But I decided to forego the Magic Band or the Disney Band Plus for myself. But they are sold on the ship, so we'll see what's offered on the ship. But I just wanted to kind of see where you're at on there. I know you're on the fence a little bit. When we talked about it, you know, a month or so ago, any inclination on what you're going to do?
Yeah, I think I'm going to kind of take the same route you are. I'm going to bring one of mine with me. Yeah. And then if I see a design on the ship that, you know, it catches my eye, I'm going to let it mingle. I know that the merch sells kind of fast on the boats, but I'm going to just look at them and see what designs they have. It's got to be really special for me to pull the trigger on at this point, because I have so many.
Yeah.
I pretty much just have a rotation that I have to wear to make it even make sense.
Yeah, that's where I was at. And kind of in the same notion, too, is like, man, it's $50 I could spend on something else. You know? Like,
yeah,
I can only wear one Magic Band at a time, right? So it's like, I'm gonna see what else I can maybe find instead. But yeah, I just wanted to gauge see where you're at on it, but I'm interested to try it out and see how useful it is compared to the Key to the World card, or, like, you know, just the little standard card that you would use for the cruise with the lanyard and stuff. I don't want to deal with the lanyard so much. I'm hoping that the Magic Band Plus will come in handy for a lot of it. So,
yeah. Well, continuing on now to the topic at hand, since we got off on a couple of tangents there.
I'm sorry.
While we were in Canada, of course, I slammed my moose head and then walked over to Northern Bloom and picked up the Collective Arts Grapefruit Lime Sour.
Ooh, okay.
Of course, a big boy pour. If it's a good hot day when you're visiting Flower and Garden Festival this year, that's the beer to hit.
Ooh,
it was
okay.
Refreshing.
So festival top three? I
mean, Jordan, you're going to love it. Yeah, yeah, it could be number three as far as drinks. Now, beers, I don't know. I've only had a couple of festival beers so far. I'm going to make a couple more visits, and we'll do a consensus overall once everybody's gone.
Okay. Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's going to be up there.
Yeah.
I'll give it that.
I'm excited to try that one for sure. Collective Arts hasn't done us wrong yet. So
not at all. Yeah. It's been great. We tried to go to Mexico, but the line was just annoyingly long.
Always.
And I don't understand why. Like, Mexico is so close to America. Go to other countries to feel cultured. But the floral margarita did look really good in person. Oh. I seen people walking by, and I was jealous as hell.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just not waiting in that line.
It's on my list for sure. It is on my list. I've heard nothing but great things.
Well, and also to backpedal a little bit, we had a boarding group for Guardians of the Galaxy, and we actually got a double-digit group for a change. I didn't get group 2 or 5 like I normally do, but I got group 69.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And, of course, that ride's always a great time. That it needs no explanation at this point. I think I've rode it 40 times. The last beer that I had for the festival, I had the, it wasn't a beer, it was a cider, actually. It was the Pear Honeysuckle Cider at Tangerine Cafe.
Okay. Tell me.
That one was, yep, that's number 2.
Okay. Okay.
That's number 2.
Okay.
It previewed well for us.
I wanted to get the flight, but I just wanted a big boy cup. And it was good. But, you know, we kind of enjoyed doing things that we normally didn't do at Epcot. We got to do a few meet and greets, like when we got off of Figment.
Yeah.
We did the Mickey and Minnie meet and greet in the Pixar Short Film Festival entrance.
Yeah, great.
And great. It's hidden, too. Like, it's like 2-minute wait.
Yeah, I'm telling you, no one's ever there. I don't know. Let's not gatekeep anyone from this either. If you're looking for a good meet and greet spot for Mickey, right? Don't go to the one in Magic Kingdom. Don't go wait in all these long lines. Go to this one over here in Epcot in the Imagination Pavilion, over to the side where you would go and enter for Figment. If you just go to the left, there's the Pixar Short Film Theater there. And you literally just walk inside, and there will be a character, Mickey or Minnie, usually standing in there just doing meet and greets. And the longest I've waited there is literally 2 minutes.
Yeah,
it's
and it was both of them this time. It was Mickey and Minnie.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And the better part was as soon as we left this, it struck the 1 o'clock hour, and that's when the Chase Disney card holder meet and greet right across the way opens up.
Yes.
And we went in there, waited probably another 5 minutes, and got to see Pluto, and I think it was Goofy and Donald and Daisy or something.
Okay.
Once again, another great intimate meet and greet in a small setting.
Yep.
Great backgrounds on the wall, new artwork and stuff. And we really slowed down. Didn't have like we got to do this, and this. We just took it all in stride. And It turned out to be such a good day. And, you know, being the fact that we were on property, all we had to do was hop on the Skyliner to get back to the hotel.
Yeah.
It just put us in no rush at all.
Yeah, it makes it so nice. So nice.
It was. We bebopped around Creations a little bit. We got to do the Moana Journey Through Water for the first time.
Yeah, that's excellent, isn't it?
Great. Yeah. It's great. For the summer months, the little ones are going to love it. Mm-hmm. It'd be a great place to cool off.
Mm-hmm.
We stayed in there for probably 30 minutes at least.
It's easy to do. I mean, the kids love, I mean, playing with the water, the interactive water stuff. It's just,
yep.
Yeah, it's really good. My kids like the wall with the kakamoras, and they're like blowing, you know, spitting the water out randomly in different spots and stuff.
Oh yeah.
They love that part. Yeah. It's really, really cool.
It's going to be a huge hit for the summertime. It's going to be a great cool off spot with all the misting and the, it's great.
Yeah. I'm glad they surprised us, right? Like we talked about it then while they were building it. Right. And just can say, hey, you know, we had our hesitancies about it, right? Like we hoped it was good, going to be good, but you know, there's a possibility that could just turn into this crowded, steamy, humid, just walkway, essentially, right? Just a wasted space. And man, I tell you, like, for the really, it's a pretty small footprint if you actually consider what it all is, right? They did a fantastic job fitting so many different things in that small space. And it really feels bigger than what it actually is. Once you start walking around,
agree with.
And I'm blown away by it. I think it's so good. As they had the new meet and greet space over there for Moana as well. And you know, with Tafiti and the way she just lines up with Spaceship Earth and stuff too, it just,
oh, it's beautiful.
It's so nice.
It's gorgeous.
I wish there was some kind of like an interactive thing in that for Tafiti, like with the heart. I wish there was something interactive about that. But.
Well, they could include, possible like magic shot going forward. In the future, they may roll that out,
or it's like have something for like the Magic Band Plus to do, like where it would come to life, just something like that.
Yeah, I think with it being in its still, let's call it in its infancy, right? That I think they still have a lot of opportunity to expand what they're doing in there. Yeah.
Yeah, we got out of the Journey into Water, and of course, right there nearby, you have Finding Nemo, so we had to hit that. That's a 10-minute wait at the very worst most days, and come out the doors from there, and there's the ice cream cart, and of course, Olivia and myself get us a nice Mickey ice cream sandwich, and those were straight down the hatch. Fabulous.
Love and, those ice cream sandwiches are my favorite.
But to wrap the day up at Epcot, at least we hit Spaceship Earth. It's been a while since we rode it, and I grabbed another drink for the walk out of the park to the Skyliner. And it was pretty much just hang out at the resort for the evening. We went down to Everything Pop and got something to eat. Life hack here, that if you get a slice of pizza, it's $11.75, or if you get a whole pizza, it's $23.
There's
easy math for you.
Yeah.
But again, we got something to eat, and we hung out in the lobby, did some pin trading. I did a lot of pin trading this weekend. I brought like 15 pins with me just to trade prevent spending $150 on pins. I did good because I only bought one pin the whole weekend.
I'm proud of
the
you,
rest
Ryan.
Of them
wow.
were traded.
All right,
so all right. I made strides. Yeah, I'm proud of me.
Yeah,
but it was a nice evening in. We actually watched a little bit of a movie while we were eating dinner in the lobby.
Nice.
And we just took it in because we were back on property for the first time in a while. And we wanted our resort stay to somewhat be worth our trouble.
Yeah, and, you got to make time for the resorts. If you're gonna spend the money, right? Even if you got a great you got a good deal for especially what the cost was previously, you got a good deal on it. Might as well soak it in and enjoy it a little bit, you know.
Yep. That's the whole key, and it felt good to be there. Like walking in there, it triggered so many memories of again. You guys taking me in there for the first time, it flashed back that memory, walking over to the Magic Band shelf and remembering picking out that Finding Nemo Magic Band, and just the other 50 times I've been there in between then and now. And it just feels so good. And like I said, I pin traded at the gift shop counter. I pin traded at the Disney Vacation Club desk, and I pin traded at the concierge desk. Like I was, I was on a mission.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you just said that, and I just realized I don't think I've stayed at Pop Century since we stayed there, the three
wow.
of us.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So, I mean, next time I'm there, I feel like it's going to unlock this whole wave of memories for me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a damn good time.
Maybe I need to stay there soon just for old time's sake.
I'm not ashamed of doing it.
I mean, it sounds like a replicating visit to me.
I'm all good with that.
But Sunday morning rolls around, and of course this was unfortunately checkout day. It's the sad part about these short weekend stays. Mm-hmm. But Sunday is always our ritual to hit Magic Kingdom, and you know, we pack up and we just load the car up and bring it around to the main lobby, and we jump on the bus, go to Magic Kingdom for the day. And it was quite the treat, because when it's been a while and you round that corner on Main Street by the Emporium mm-hmm. and you just mm-hmm. see the castle, it's it hits different. You appreciate it a little more, I guess.
Yep.
But we had a bit of a mission, like we were going to bite the bullet and go ahead and take a wait, because we got actually at the park fairly early that morning, earlier than we normally would. But we went ahead and went straight to Haunted Mansion. And we shot, kind of like took the little cut through by the Crystal Palace and went behind the Christmas shop and Liberty Tree uh-huh. Tavern and yep. snuck through there and beat some of the crowd. But probably waited 20 minutes for Haunted Mansion at 9 o'clock in the morning, which is fabulous.
Yeah.
And I finally found the Rolly Crump wax sculpture in the attic scene.
Oh, nice.
It's
nice.
Very small. But if you're sitting on the left side of the Doom buggy, you will have a front row seat to it. I'll tell you that.
Okay. Okay.
But Brianna found it. I can't take credit for it, but I did see it. I love the past few times that I've rode Haunted Mansion since they've done the updates to it. And
oh,
just,
yeah.
It's darker, but the illuminated things are more vivid.
Yep. Yep.
It's,
I feel like
it's great.
I feel like I'm seeing and finding things in there for the first time every time I ride it.
Me too.
Like I'm seeing new things. I was like, oh, okay. Like if that was here before, I don't think it, you know, is new, but because of the renovations that they did on it, you're noticing it more.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's like a new game for me to get on that ride and then go see what I can find that I didn't see last time.
Yeah, speaking Brianna of that, realized. I tried to look in the graveyard scene and try and find a new statue or figure that I've never really focused on and noticed before. So I kind of have that same kind of thing where I played that game as well. Keeps things fresh.
Well, on this trip, it was the first time Brianna realized that the two portraits on the wall right before you exit the ballroom scene are actually dueling each other.
Yes. Yes.
She had never noticed that before.
Actually, I think I showed my mom that the last time we were on it, and it saying she had never noticed that. And just like, you know, just again, there's so many things to look at that
Pepper's Ghost easy. Theory, man. It's
uh-huh.
awesome.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But yeah, from there we got off Haunted Mansion and we were a little hungry because we didn't eat breakfast at the resort. So, of course, our breakfast stop usually at Magic Kingdom is either going to be Sleepy Hollow or the Friar's mm-hmm. Nook. Mm-hmm. And we hit the Friar's Nook. And it was kind of like that, you know, almost brunch hour. So they were starting to roll out some of the lunch stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And
perfect time to hit that.
Brianna, one of the kids, got one of those like snack trays that has the dehydrated green beans and the wheat thins and the ham and cheese.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those dehydrated green beans are off the chain. I love those things. But I got the caramel apple pecan hand pie. And ooh. I highly ooh. Suggest that you get this because it's
okay.
It's banger. And of course, I had a tray of tots beside that as well.
Of course.
Oh, that's customary.
You have to.
Yeah, they were fabulous. And We shared a strawberry lemonade slush. Those are amazing there. And we took a short walk and jumped on the carousel. It was a brisk 5-minute wait. And they actually were in the process of repainting the carousel, and I got pictures of it because sections of the carousel were white, like they had been sandblasted or just like primered.
Yeah.
So they actually had drapes that looked like the painted carousel. And I'll find a way to put those on socials and see if we can get a couple of laughs out of them, because I got a couple of ideas to add some captioning to it.
All right. But, all right. Look forward to that.
One of the funny things was the operator for the carousel this day, he was like Johnny on the spot. Like, my guy was watching everything so hard as it was rotating around. Like, he was, I mean, you'd have thought his life depended on it. But he was, it looked like he was trying to count shirt buttons on every person that went by. Oh, he was looking so hard. Me and Brianna got a laugh out of that. But it was a fun time. The kids always love the carousel. And
yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Yeah, from there, we kind of ventured over towards like Fantasyland, and we got on Little Mermaid. It's always a nice little treat. It was nice and cool in there too, because it was kind of warm that day. But that was basically a walk-on, which was beautiful. And our good buddy Scuttle, he was up on his perch talking shit in the ride queue as we walked through. one thing I will say is that Magic Kingdom was notably not busy for a Sunday. And we were pleasantly surprised with that.
I'm telling you, man, the Sundays are the day to go to Magic Kingdom anymore. It's good.
But we made a big loop across the park, actually, back towards like Frontierland and Adventureland, because we wanted to ride Pirates, and Pirates was like a 30-minute wait, and we sure as hell didn't wait 30 minutes. It was rather quick, probably 15 minutes, and man, Pirates is. I don't know. It's kind of becoming a staple for Magic Kingdom for me. That's kind of like the ride that I ride every time now. Something about it. I think it's the smells. Whenever you hit that one scene and you get that heavy, like, cherry tobacco smell.
Yes, sir.
I can't get enough of it. And, it was... I wish I would have stopped and got beignets from the little cart right there between Frontierland and Adventureland. But I regret it. But we did stop and look at Tiana's Bayou Adventure, and it looks incredible. And actually, you can tell they're wrapping up because a lot of the scaffolding is starting to disappear. I'm just ready for them walls to come down. I want to see the swamp area. I want to see that grand reveal. Mm-hmm. And I hope I'm pretty sure they'll do AP previews for it.
Oh yeah, I would be very surprised if they didn't. Right. But yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see like the swamp. I mean, they flooded the Briar Patch to make it into a swamp, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. I'm just ready to see what they do to enhance the area.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest difference is just how lush it is compared to the dry desert landscape that it basically was.
Yeah, it's very floral.
You know? So... I can't wait to see what all the other things that they do around the ride that area. Part. Yep. Right.
Yeah.
So I want to see the ride queue as well. I want to see if they're, what they do.
I feel like they're going to have a lot of fun with that.
I would hope so. I hope the Fireflies get their own little segment of the ride too. They deserve it. Some good music.
I hope they added some fans to it, because my gosh, it's hot in that line in particular.
Yeah. But we got off of Pirates and we got out of Adventureland and shot back across towards Tomorrowland, and we actually got on Dumbo while skating through the edge of Fantasyland into Tomorrowland, because Dumbo was a very short wait, and that was a lovely time. I just wish they would get the fountains to work again. They haven't worked in quite some time.
Oh, mm-hmm.
It's sad.
Yeah,
I need fountains. Yeah. But we jumped on Tomorrowland Speedway, and again, like a 10-minute wait, 10, 15 minutes at the very max, and get to get carbon monoxide poisoning for 10 minutes or so. we let the kids drive, and man, I need to take Dramamine next time I do that. The next few years, I fear my life whenever my kids start driving. I know that.
Yeah. Oh,
but it was good. And of course, our staple for a Magic Kingdom Sunday is that we ride the People Mover before getting out of the park. And that's exactly what the hell we did. We like to just cruise around.
Cap it off.
And see the beautiful sights. Good. Yeah. So beautiful sights of Tomorrowland and the castle and the railway and Tron.
It's you really just, can appreciate everything from the People Mover to wind it up like that. Like, you have an opportunity to really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And, you know, we get off People Mover. We refill all of our popcorn buckets so the kids can have a little snack for the halfway ride home. We always stop in Daytona at Bucky's. So, yeah, we hop back on the bus. That's the one thing about staying on Disney property is that, you know, if you're staying off property and you drive to the park, you just get in your car and you go home. Mm-hmm. But you take that bus back to the lobby and you get that last little squeeze of just being at Disney before you get in the car and go home. So I got to go trade a couple more pins and just got something to drink from Everything Pop. And yeah, it was good to be back down there. That's for sure. And I can't wait for our next visit to Flower and Garden Festival and to Disney just in general.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. There's so many things I want to try. I know we made a big deal about the honey mascarpone cheesecake. They're doing something new over at the Swirl Showcase with it, with that freeze-dried technique. So there's a lot of things I'm very much looking forward to and hoping that I get to very soon experience some of those things. And like we said when we were previewing the episode a few weeks back, festival is very long. And there's a lot to it, so definitely calls for multiple visits. So that's what we plan to do. And collectively between us, I think we have several trips already scheduled for that. So I can't wait to try. I can't wait to try some of the things that you highlighted for us today, and I can't wait to try some of the other things as well. Hopefully, I can get that margarita that we were talking about. And we need to get that. But it's always good to get back down there, like you said. And it's you can tell, Ryan, when you start talking about it, right? You can tell in your voice how much it actually means, to be there. So I'm so pumped that you guys got to get back down and experience it, stay on property, and just spend time with your family and. Just again, what it's all about, right? We started this series on Sundays. I thought it would be an appropriate time, right? It's more of a spiritual or inward looking day of the week, to where we start these posts on Instagram, titled our Sunday Reflections, and just still moments in time. Captured within the parks that can help be a reminder to to give yourself that time, give yourself that break, give yourself just that moment, right? To step away from the realities and the real world and the mundaneness of everything you've got going on. And even if you're not in the parks, you can still have that little bit of visualization, to kind of help you get through whatever it is you're going through. And I think it's important, and Disney provides us a lot, in a lot of ways with ways to do that. So, I can just tell when you talk about it, how much it truly means. And that's what I truly appreciate.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely love the fact that pretty much in anything I do now, it triggers a memory of some sort over the course of the last 3 to 4 years, and it's just incredible to be able to feel like you're kind of reliving a moment that you try to recapture.
While creating new ones, right? While you visit, right, your kids are growing older, they're becoming their own people, right? They're becoming experienced in different ways, and they start to see things through different lenses a little bit, right? And so it all starts to mean a little bit more, a little bit mean something different every time you go. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be, that's what I love about it too, is that we talk about, you know, having different itineraries when you go, and each time can be different that way. But especially when you're in a family dynamic, or if it's just you, right? If it's just, you know, listener out there, if it's just you and, you know, your husband or your wife or whomever, just going, and or just by yourself. But every time you go, you can, you're in a different part of your life, right? You're in a different stage or different season in your life that, as you go and experience the same things, right? You go see, you been around that corner of Magic Kingdom on Main Street, and you see that castle, or, you know, it can mean something to you and differently in that season. So I think it's, that's what I think it's all about, is finding those new moments and creating those new memories, even if you're, you know, all the while, holding on to those older fun memories as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Couldn't have said it any better.
Yeah. Well, maybe next time, we get down there, we can, take advantage of our friends over at DVC Rental Store, and get a discount on some DVC accommodations at Disney. If you want to check them out, there is an affiliate link in our episode description. They are a wonderful group of people. They have a fantastic product. You can rent points, stay at DVC properties, and get up to 75% off Disney rack rates. So it's a no-brainer. At least check out, see what they have available. Availability kind of goes crazy, especially during the summer. Yes, but if you're planning those trips right now for the holiday season, now's the time. That 9-month window, now's the time. Go visit DVC Rental Store. Again, there's an affiliate link in our episode description. Go see what they have available, because I guarantee you they will save you money, and it's such a great experience to book through them. So go check them out for sure.
We also have additional affiliate links in our episode description. Make sure you check out all of those that support us, like 1901 Candle Co. and Expedition Roasters as well. We have all of those in our links as well. And while you're perusing around the internets, don't forget, on your podcast listening platform, so Apple Podcasts, Spotify, we're talking to you guys. If you are able to, please give us a rating and also maybe a brief description of the podcast itself. All it does is just, it helps us reach more people, hitting the algorithm and getting our podcast on more people's agendas and their timelines. So we want to try and reach as many folks as we can and help as many folks as we can. And much like what you guys are already here for, we are just trying to build this community up, pass along some great information for those that are going down to the parks and looking to have a good time in doing so, and trying to have some good insider information without all the fluff.
Once again, Ryan, thank you so much for going through your recap. I appreciate it. And guys, we've got a lot of things coming, so stay tuned. Make sure you're following us at Off the Monorails on your favorite social media platform. But we'll be sharing a lot of information and a lot of photos, a lot of video, a lot of content to come here very, very soon, as we're all embarking on several trips. So make sure you're following along with us at Off the Monorails. And other than that, we will catch you next week, same time, same place. I'm Jordan.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is Off the Monorails.